Here It Comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put a great, wonderful spotlight on the Southwest for this next 30 minutes. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening. Joining me in studio for the next 30 minutes is a return guest. It's been quite a while, and someone who is actually a dear friend of mine for many reasons, including helping mentor me in the radio business. She's a personality. And her name is Sheila Kressler Crowley. In her day job, she is the director of marketing at Bookman's Entertainment Exchange, but her real title is director of chaos and damage control.
It's a quote. That's right.
That's true. For Bookman's Entertainment Exchange, and probably at home as well. Bookman's is not just a Tucson treasure, but an Arizona treasure. And when I was writing up my notes, I thought, for thousands of us, but it's really millions of us. Mm-hmm. Because there are millions of people up in Phoenix, and there are over a million down here. Multiple visits on many of our parts. So millions. You're serving millions.
We are. Wow, no pressure now.
No pressure for a great show.
When we put it that way. Well, no, thank you for having me. I enjoy being here, and I'm looking forward to spending 30 minutes with you just talking, because we never do that.
That's right.
In 30 minutes. So that's the challenge for today.
How are we going to do it? I called Sheila before I got on air and I said, is there anything in particular we need to cover on this show? Because we will find lots of fun and informative things to talk about. And it's been such a long time that I think we have growing our audience, ever growing, wonderful people that are connected with Mrs. Green's world. Tell people that listen here and around the country what Bookman's is.
I'd be glad to. So Bookman's is a chain of used bookstores. And within our bookstores, we also sell musical instruments and music and video games and tchotchkes and water bottles and everything in between. But we started 40 years ago. Actually, this year, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary of being in Arizona. And we started, just to kind of rewind a bit, our store is still owned by one owner, Bob Oldfather, and he bought
our favorite Smurf.
Our favorite blue bearded man.
Blue bearded man.
That's a whole nother show, Gina. So Bob started this bookstore. He purchased it from his father for $1. Back in the day, there was a tiny store at Broadway and Tucson Boulevard. His dad wanted to get out of the book business. He bought the store from his dad. He changed it to Bookman's and moved into our Grant and Campbell location 40 years ago. And from one small store, we grew to six stores in Arizona, with two in Phoenix, one in Mesa, one in Flagstaff, and three stores in Tucson. We also have an online presence. We sell through Amazon and other online entities for some of our nonfiction and our rare books. And more recently, we went into a whole new area of selling used sporting goods, sports, fitness, and outdoor gear. And unfortunately, what Bob calls, was an experiment, and it didn't work.
Right.
And so we're actually closing our doors on Bookman's Sports Exchange probably before the first of the year, and really going back to our roots, and our roots being Arizona's number one bookstore. And we know books. We've been doing it for 40 years, and so we're going back to selling books, and that's what we do.
And that is what, I mean, to me, there's so much to say about Bookman's. It's an institution in the most wonderful of ways. People go there to hang out. It's a peaceful place if you want to go just sit in an easy chair.
Sure.
And sit and have quiet,
mm-hmm.
and people watch. It's a fun place to people watch.
Yes. Oh, yes. And employee watch.
And employee watch. It's so true. And, you know, let's go back a minute when you talked about Bob and his vision and what he's been able to create. There's something about the behind the scenes that as I got to be friends with him and with Amy Sue and with you, that there's really a lot of moving parts to being successful. And you've been wildly successful at this, even for the purchasing of equipment, of the things you say yes to that you're going to buy, of going to places around the country to look for things that are might be good to sell.
Sure.
It's not just go turn in your used books and isn't this a great experience?
Now, there are a lot of moving parts to the business. And if you think about it, you know, when someone once asked me, you know, well, how big is your store? If you can imagine, you know, a Barnes & Noble, but used, that's what we do. And we have combined over 100,000 square feet of retail space of where we are buying, selling, and trading used books and mixed media. And so in order to get that, yes, the community that surrounds each store really is instrumental on what is going to be on our shelves, because it's really what they're bringing us. But in addition to that, we travel the country, going to different trade shows and expos, looking for people who have product that has hit the floor, which technically when your product hits the floor, it becomes used, that
right.
We then purchase that. We've developed relationships with publishers who will sell us their extra inventory or something called a hurt or remainder. You know, a publisher publishes a book and maybe there's a typo and they can't sell that book, but it's still a perfectly viable book. We buy that. We put it in our shelves. We don't necessarily highlight it within our stores. It's mixed in with new and used mixed in. And we do that with musical instruments and coloring books. And so we do have a lot of new merchandise as well. We just make it a point to have it just work together with the used. So you never know. And our used is quality. I think people think, Bob always used to say, you know, used is a dirty word. It really isn't. It's just repurposed. It's recycled. We're doing our best to keep things out of a landfill and into the stores.
And, you know, it's really funny, my purchasing patterns, because I go there first to look for books because mm-hmm. it's supporting a locally owned business.
Right.
It's reused. So Mrs. Green is on it before
right.
she was even Mrs. Green. But you're right about the quality. And one of the things I do, which I think is a little strange, but I'm owning strange, is I will buy a used book there. And then the book that I buy will never go back to Bookman's because mm-hmm. I write in my books and I
right.
highlight them and there's notes all over the place. You can't buy that at Bookman's. That's not what you buy back, which
no,
is great.
We're
so
not
there's
buying
guilt
your books.
You're not buying my books. But it's you see the part to me is like a second use
mm-hmm.
and then I can use it and I have the whole guilt reduction thing
right.
going on. But it's always top quality.
It's also the perfect opportunity to get rid of those gifts that you got from somebody that you didn't want.
Right, right.
Yes. We're like re-gift central. I think that's a good point. I mean, half the time I go into that store as a customer, a lot of times, and I walk out with a lamp. And I'm like, really? We do not need another lamp. I'm like, no, but look at this lamp. It was $24. I will find a place for it. And I think that's the experience of Bookman's, is that you walk in with the intention of, I'm looking for this, and you walk out with, look what I found.
Right, the unexpected.
The unexpected. And it truly is a treasure hunt. I mean, and that's kind of the beauty of Bookman's. It's just everything is not necessarily in one spot. You could be in our kids' room and find something for yourself, or you could be in the nonfiction section, and in between two books is this beautiful vase that you didn't know you needed. And that's kind of what we've done. It's an experience. It's not just, I call it a one-and-done experience. It's one, and you linger, and you socialize, and then you see somebody you know, or there's an event going on. We pride ourselves on that. We have a huge community commitment to providing free in-store events for our customers, all customers. And if you think of a bookstore, it's really hard to pinpoint, okay, well, who's your target audience? Our target audience is the neighborhood that surrounds our stores. So we cater our events to that, musical performances, arts and crafts, book clubs, and everything in between. Zombie fairs? I mean, hello.
We do that.
Yeah.
But it's so fit. You were kind of like channeling me, mm-hmm. okay, which is not surprising. I was going to say, I don't think there is a typical demographic for Bookman's. And I have one example. My friend Ron, who is a very well-known, internationally known pathologist,
mm-hmm.
drives to Bookman's pretty much every Saturday, according to his latest update, and buys anywhere from 7 to 10 books.
That's great.
Because, and he does buy online.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Ron. We love you, Ron. I'll tell Mary that he got a shout out.
Keep doing that, Ron. I like my job.
See, that's what he does.
Right.
He's really there. And it's for children of all ages, mm-hmm. is what I would say. So you see kids there. You see older people there, older defined now in my life as mm-hmm. over 90. because once I got to be 65.
You just keep raising the bar.
Yeah,
there.
It's like, okay, older, what is that? Oh, that's over 90.
Right.
And but really all ages. And talk about some of the events you have, because it's a hub in those neighborhoods. A lot for moms and kids, and mm-hmm. I'm going to say moms and kids.
Absolutely.
And what? Tell us some of the activities. That's why it's a neighborhood center.
Well, you know, to touch on that, some of our activities do range from our story times, our mommy and me times, to, you know, music hour and our musical instrument petting zoo and arts and crafts for all ages. But then we do things like a zombie fair or, you know, a local author's fair or our wellness fairs or our adoptions of pets. And by pets, I mean no pets are off limits. I mean, we've done rat rescues. We've done greyhound rescues. I mean, if I were to really put together my resume of some of the events I've done.
It looks like it's fiction.
It really does.
It looks like it's fiction.
It really does. And I think that's what makes Bookmans so unique, is that we really try to appeal to everybody, and we try to get people to think, and we try to get people to come out of their little box and their comfort zone and explore and meet new people and participate in new experiences. And it's never done in a way in our store, and Bob has always been this way. We're basically Switzerland on all levels, you know. So, you know, if you're not into it, that's really okay. We have something for you. But if you want to explore this, all are welcome. So it's very inclusive.
It really is.
It's always been inclusive, even down to how we hire is inclusive. And that's why it's one of the selling points for me as a mom, as a native of Tucson, as someone who's raising two small children, to just have a community bookstore that is inclusive and is there to just provide entertainment and education and promote literacy and have fun.
And, you know, it's so funny reflecting on the Sports Exchange, which was really exciting for Tucson.
It was
a big space, but and it was bewildering to me, and now it's not. The puzzle piece just came into place, because the magic of Bookmans is you go there and want to stay.
Sure.
And for going to that, you went there and you're looking for something and you wanted to shop.
Right.
And you wanted to get it.
And it was, you know, it was interesting with the Sports Exchange, because we really wanted it to work. We really, really wanted
it
to work. You know, but when you think about it, a book has a higher, you read a book, you can turn it in.
Yes.
People tend to buy maybe one tent their entire life, and then they keep it in the garage,
right.
And then they want to bring it back, and then they want that exactly what they paid for that tent. So the emotional connection to hard goods on the sporting goods side is
very
a little
different.
Bit different than on the bookstore side. And we tried, and what was happening, we were losing our identity as a used sporting goods store. People reflected that we were carrying more new than ever before. And as a one-store entity, we just didn't have the buying power as someone like Dick's Sporting Goods or Big Five, where they can buy something in bulk. We just didn't have that kind of buying power. So we gave it a try. We gave it a hard try. We really wanted it to be successful. And in the end, you know, we had to make a really hard decision. Do we keep trying at the expense of possibly having to close one of our bookstores to make this work?
Right.
And so it was a really hard decision. And what we ended up deciding was, we know books. We know how to do books. People want books. And we're going to get back to that. And, you know, it was hard because we changed people's lives. You know, we tried to absorb as many employees as we could. And it was difficult. It was painful. But on the flip side, what we're doing with that space where we had the sporting goods store is we're moving our original first bookstore, Grant Campbell.
First store, I know.
We're moving it into this space. And this space is beautiful.
It's,
I mean,
gorgeous.
It's new. It's inviting. It's in a great area.
The mirrors are outstanding.
Yeah, the mirror. I know. They make you look skinny. Every time I get a new outfit, I'm like,
and
yeah.
And the ironwork around those mirrors.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space. It's a great area. And the reality is, eventually, we would have to move our Grant & Campbell location. We have been in this holding pattern there with the Grant Road widening project. We haven't been able to put infrastructure into the building. It needs work.
Right. It's tired.
It's tired.
It's really
and
tired.
We can't afford to put money into something that is eventually going to be torn down. And to open a new bookstore requires millions of dollars that we just don't have. So it made perfect sense for us to take that Grand Campbell location and slide it in to where our sporting goods location was and open a beautiful new Grant Bookman's in a new spot. And so that's what we're excited and looking forward to in the first of the
year. It's going
to
be gorgeous. I mean, it really is. It's going to be gorgeous. What's the timeline?
The timeline, that's a really good question, Gina, and I'm going to try to answer honestly and not like how a politician would. The truth is we don't know yet. That's the honest truth.
That's a really good answer. You can't get dinged on that one.
I don't
We're
know.
Not sure. It's a lot of redoing, rebuilding.
It is. So, once we close the doors on the sporting goods store, which it's still open right now, we're still in liquidation mode. We're still selling things at 50% off and we still have inventory. Once we reach a place and we're not there yet where it just doesn't make sense to keep the doors open, we'll close our doors there and then we have to build out a bookstore.
Right.
So that takes time. I can honestly say it won't happen until after the holidays. I mean, if we do, I might quit. We cannot do that to ourselves.
Bob, do you hear that? We don't want to do that.
No, he won't.
Talk about the director of chaos and damage control. That would be a dark
talk
day.
About the director of admitting herself. So we'll do it after the first of the year,
and there'll be something great and exciting for Tucson.
It will.
People in Tucson love Bookman's. I actually don't know people who are not aware of Bookman's because why would I know them
right.
if they didn't know about Bookman's? But it's an institution in the most wonderful of ways. I wanted to ask you, is there a difference in what sells and what doesn't in your markets, like Phoenix versus Tucson?
Sure.
What do you see differently? What goes and what doesn't?
Absolutely. It's kind of interesting because sometimes, we're very honest in that, we don't have a computerized inventory. And people kind of scratch their heads in a world of smartphones and instant access to knowledge. We are a human search engine. So that's why we always say it's a true treasure hunt. And each store represents, as I said, a different community. So what works for our store in Phoenix may not work for our store in Mesa.
Right.
As far as items, it's hard to say. It varies. It's an ebb and flow. It also depends on the time of year. Like right now, everybody wants to get a used DS for their kids, a Nintendo DS, or they want a new video game console, or they're looking for this particular musical instrument that we try to keep in stock all the time. So it really depends on the time of year, and it also depends on the community. So something, I would say that we sell, to get more specific, we probably sell more vinyl at our Grant store. That there's been a resurgence of vinyl.
Yes.
We kind of have a younger, we're close to the U of A, so they'll tend to gravitate towards vinyl there. That doesn't necessarily work at our Mesa store. Our Mesa store is a very heavily populated family area, so our kids' room does really well there, and more of the what we call our geeking out rooms, which is the comic books and this resurgence of superheroes that are everywhere. That does really well up there. So it really depends.
You have to look at all those things too. And what about, do they sell musical instruments up there? I didn't know that.
So all of our stores sell musical instruments. And we've expanded those areas quite significantly, and part of that came into play because a lot of these music stores were closing in town, and it was hard.
Right.
So selling musical instruments to us just made perfect sense because what we end up selling is truly what people start asking for. Or someone would trade in a guitar, and we'd be like, okay, we'll try it. And then that someone would buy that guitar and say, wow, we see something here. People want this, so let's listen to the people and start carrying that. And that's how our different sections have evolved over the years. We started out as solely books, and then somebody started bringing in their vinyl and cassettes back in the day. And then somebody started bringing in, their mother's china, and somebody wanted to buy that set of china. Somebody like me.
Yes.
And that's just how our product
and
line
Brian
has
is saying, don't go in the store, Sheila. Just stay in your office.
Well, we recently moved and have a basement, so he has no idea what's to come.
That's right. What lies beneath?
What lies beneath is my own personal home goods.
Get out of there. Get out of there.
Right.
So it's fun. So what about, there's going to be, it's the 40th year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of interesting to reflect on that you're anchor store, your first store, is going to move, mm-hmm. the one that's been there at Campbell and Grant,
right.
just kind of a, I don't remember what you call those, but an anchor in that
sure.
area. And then
our flagship.
Your flagship, that's yes. the word I was looking for. Thank you very much, channeling me once again, is the idea of the excitement of a brand new used store at the new location. It's good.
It's
really good.
Good.
And it's a good neighborhood there.
It's a great neighborhood. We're going to be next to Whole Foods, and we're going to be next to a bike store, and we're going to be, you know, across the street from the Loft Cinema,
which is another great
yes.
institution.
And we're close to the U of A, and we're on the Speedway Corridor, which is it's just ideal. You know, it's truly going to be our central store, our central location. It's easy to get to. The parking's easy. You know, we'll still have all that covered solar parking that we had for the Sports Exchange store. So it's just going to be a perfect fit.
And an EV charging station.
An EV charging station. And if you think about it, as you get a little older, sometimes you need to get a little work done. So I look at it, this is our facelift. This is our 40-year facelift. And let me tell you, we're having some good work done. You won't be able to tell, really.
You won't be able to tell where the scars are.
Exactly.
That's really great. And the EV charging station, to me, I now have a A3 Audi. Thank you, Chapman Automotive
Francer
Group.
Nancer.
Yes, it is. Very. I love it. And the other day, I was going into the U of A, and I was late. And at the U of A, in their parking garage off a mountain, so people listening out there know this, incentive to get an electric vehicle, mine's a hybrid, I pull in, there's two spaces reserved right as you pull in, the sweet spot on the first floor, and I went, oh, I can do that. And I pulled in there, and I put my vehicle.
That's
started
awesome.
Charging it. So Bookman's the same thing. It's a really...
Yeah, we have charging stations at every location.
At every location.
And I have to say, if to toot our horn a little bit, this is kind of, you know, Bob's vision, is he likes to say we were green before green was cool. We also were into EV before EV was cool. I mean, it's kind of one of his passions, and he loves electric vehicles and what they represent for our future. And so we do have charging stations at every location.
And I know you'll keep the water refilling station.
Oh, that's not going. I'll even keep the plaque there that says...
This was approved by Mrs. Green.
Absolutely.
That was a happy day for me. It's really going to be great. What kinds of things are you going to do for the 40th anniversary?
Well, right now, we've been doing 40 Years of Fun. It's a social media campaign where we've been giving little clues each day, and people can follow along with that. And at the end of that, we're going to be giving away these really great, fun Bookman's baskets, one from each location. Also this year, we're going to celebrate by having, you know, 40-year birthday parties, but giving back to our customers and our community. And this year, you know, I've tasked our community outreach coordinators to really get back to doing some of our grassroots events. And by that, it's, you know, there's a lot of big events that happen in this town with big names, and you buy a booth and you're one of many. But getting back to those smaller community events and having a presence there and just reminding people of who we are and what we do, and that we're open daily from 9 to 10 every single day, and you can come and hang out with us with your entire family. And that's what we want to continue to do for another 40 years.
And I would say that instead of those kinds of things becoming fewer and far between, I think people are starved for places where there's a sense of community.
Yeah.
I know I'm one of them. I want to go into a coffee shop where the person says, hey, Gina, or hi, Mrs.
Right.
Green. There's so much disconnect.
Right.
And you don't ever feel that. And I want to just add about your employees. I have never gone to a Bookman's ever where I asked about a book and they told me where it was.
Mm-hmm.
They come with me.
Absolutely.
I'm like, it's okay. No, you don't have
Phew.
To. Yeah, they come with
yeah.
you. And they're nice about it because they care. They don't work there unless they care and they're part of that community.
No, it's a culture. We have a lot of people who have been there for a long time. I mean, if you go onto our back-end employee site, it will show you everybody who's celebrating an anniversary. I'm considered somewhat of a newbie at going on 11 years. And it is a community. It's a culture. It's a place where people can be who they are. You know, we celebrate diversity. And that trickles down into the community we serve. And we want to serve everybody, even your furry friends. You know, we're one of the few places in town where you can literally bring every single person in your family. And if that's a guinea pig, bring little Bugsy on by. Or if it's your dog, bring Fido.
What about Snake?
You know, there are some people who bring snakes in, and I can't.
I don't like that.
I don't either, but, you know...
I love all of God's creatures.
Exactly. I don't love those ones, but you know, I have to honor that person's desire to have that.
Just change aisles.
Far aisles.
I agree. Yeah. I'm not sure I would like be interested in any kind of rat exchange either.
You would be surprised at people who are into rats.
Oh my gosh, you're all shaking your heads and I'm going, no, say it isn't so. I'm not into
iguanas,
rats.
Bearded dragons. We have like a reptile exchange. If you can think it, it happens.
And it went to Bookman's, and I'm sure our favorite Bluebeard loves that.
Oh, absolutely.
Mr. Quirky Bob Oldfather. What a visionary. I mean, he is. He just is. He saw a lot of things coming, and he does. Do you worry at all about, and I have my own answer for this, which I'll say after you say yours, about the future of books and that they are disappearing and everybody's going to a reader? What's your read on that, so to speak?
My read on that, no pun intended. My take on e-readers, and I own an e-reader, I see the value in them in some ways. You know, they're saving trees and paper. But you can't take away the tactile experience of owning a book.
Bingo, she got the right answer.
And as long as we are teaching children, they will always need that book. I mean, if you've noticed even the decline of books in general, maybe on the fiction, nonfiction for adults and above, they haven't declined in the children's sector. And that is because as we grow, we need that tactile experience. We need to touch it. We need to feel it. We need to turn it. That'll never go away. And I think we've seen that people are going back to books. And books, you know, I thought about it. I really liked my e-reader at first. And then I realized there was a 2-year period where my trophy case, i.e. my bookshelves, because for me, I read a book and I'm proud I've read that book and I leave it on my shelf. And if somebody comes into my home and says,
I'll hand them the book.
I'll give them the book.
Right.
And that stopped for a year or two for me. And so I've actually gone back to the book, and I always have, or I'll buy a book on my e-reader and then I buy it in person because the experience of flipping through, you can't get that on an e-reader.
I know. And I find the same thing, same pattern. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I can download this book. It's right here. It took like 3 seconds. When I travel or when I'm on vacation, I don't want anything but a book.
Right.
On the plane, great. You don't have to carry a lot of stuff. It's really great. But backtrack, on a vacation, I want the physical book. I want to touch it. I want to underline on it. I want to put yellow stickies in it.
And I think that goes back to, you know, my children read books because I read books.
Yes. Totally.
And I read books because my parents read books and reading was really important. And, you know, that's what we're trying to encourage. And quite honestly, if I'm, you know, as a parent, I don't care how you read. I just want you to read. So if that for you is on an e-reader, that's great. But I encourage people to just pick up that tactile experience because I can't give somebody my e-reader and say, try this book. I mean, I guess I can, but I'm not getting it back. So I love giving away books.
I love giving away books. And of course, then you end up with a circle of friends of all ages that love to.
Absolutely.
I put them out on my shelf, my go-to shelf out here, and start talking about it. And my friend Molly, she buys, like if she loves a book, she makes a habit of buying 5 copies. She's another Bookman's person. And she also, you know, like Antigone's, if she wants a new book to give to presents, she buys 5 copies. And so I am the recipient of her largesse a lot of times with a real book.
Does she need any friends?
She's your friend.
Okay.
And you can be her friend.
Okay.
I'm having dinner with her Saturday
tell
night.
Tell her I need a new book.
I will. I'll tell her that you need a new book. Email me the title.
I will.
Let's give some websites.
Sure.
Because I don't want to forget when I have the social media maven and the queen of radio here with me to forget websites. Bookmans.com.
Absolutely.
And then for Facebook, Bookmans.
Yep.
Twitter. Bookmans. This is hard. A hard test. There'll be a quiz at the end. Twitter, Bookmans. And Instagram, Bookmans AZ.
Yep.
Okay. And Pinterest. Do you get a lot of action on Pinterest?
Yeah, we do. People love going and we'll put our crafts that we recently did. And
so Bookmans AZ.
Yes.
I don't think about Pinterest as much.
There's like 5,000 things on social media. Sometimes you got to just narrow it down.
And I want to repeat that the reason why you're here, other than that we love you, is you participated in and won the Summer Fun Contest that we did.
Woo-hoo!
Which we'll be doing again. Okay, coming up on the 26th, Lauren Singer, Trash is for Tossers. And November 29th, Jessica Mitchell and Melissa Zukowski from Tucson Medical Center to discuss child passenger safety. Make it a great green week. Sheila Kressler-Crowley, you rock, and thanks for being in my world.
Thank you.